And our gospel reading comes from Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath, offering her a new beginning for her life. When challenged by the narrow reading of the Sabbath command, Jesus responds by expanding Sabbath work to include setting people free from bondage. The reading from Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away and give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan had bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing in all of the wonderful things that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are now going to sing "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Setting sun closed upon the quiet village. The sound of a trumpet blast from the roof of the synagogue ruler's house marked the advent of Sabbath, the day of rest. Once more it echoed over the village to hasten the villagers in laying aside all of their work. After the horn sounded its third call, the ruler of the synagogue set it to rest by his side. He would not pick it up again until next week, to avoid violating the Sabbath regulations. Only the lighting of the festival lamp would be permitted. the day of rest had commenced. When Sabbath morn had dawned, the people would gather for worship in the synagogue. On this Sabbath day, the village sensed an air of expectation. Some had heard him preach. A few had been witnesses to a healing or demonic deliverance, but everybody had heard the stories. People had been arriving early the day before the Sabbath. They traveled from the surrounding countryside. They had abandoned their flocks and their herds, their vineyards and their fields, their trade shops and fishing boats. All of that could wait. They wanted to hear and see the man from Nazareth. One woman in the village rose early that morning and started her tedious walk to the synagogue. A relative or a friend usually helped her, but this morning she did not want to trouble anybody. She wanted to arrive early. She wanted to make sure that she located a seat that would allow her to see him. The walk was always difficult in a crippled condition, but after 18 years, she had gotten used to it. She did not understand why God allowed her to suffer, but she seldom questioned it. Maybe it was a sin she had committed. Maybe it was a sin her mother had committed. Those questions would have to wait until the day when her suffering would finally come to an end. As she approached the door of the synagogue, she raised her hand to touch the ornaments that hung on the doorframe. Perhaps on this synagogue hung a set of vine leaves with bunches of grapes overlaid on Aaron's rod. The grapes were served as a reminder that she was the fruit of God's vineyard. Aaron's rod would stir her memory to recall the stories of her ancestors' deliverance from Egypt by Yahweh. She was not able to raise her head to see the symbols for many years, but the shape on her fingertips reminded her that she served the God who provided. Slowly, she made her way along the eastern side of the room and walked toward the woman's gallery in the back. The stairs were always difficult, but she managed. Once in the balcony, she found a place where she could sit by turning her head to the side, and she would see him. Well, the synagogue quickly filled that morning. People were crammed in. Some sat in the aisles. Others stood along the sides. Women lined the stairways leading to the balcony. Still others outside stood and listened through the doorway. Well, the service began that morning just like any other service, except that Rabbi from Nazareth, he led the liturgy. He spoke the opening prayers, and then he recited the Shema. He then delivered a portion of the 18 eulogies and concluded with a blessing upon the people. Then the man from Nazareth sat down, while seven men in the synagogue read portions of the law, followed by a reading from the prophets. She listened to the words that she had heard so many times before. The words may have reminded her that God had indeed done many wonderful things in times past. God had fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah. God delivered the people from the bondage of the Pharaoh. God led them through the wilderness to a land of flowing milk and honey. And God had raised up a righteous king and had blessed the land. But the people rebelled, and God punished them by the hands of Babylon and Rome. When would God again stretch out a hand? When would God send the promised Messiah? When would God draw near and restore the fortunes of Israel? Finally, I knew that was going to happen. Continuing. Finally, Jesus walked to the platform. And I don't know if his lights fell down, but mine did. He sat down to teach. His words opened her heart to ways of understanding God in ways that she had never ever considered. Her message brought a conviction to live in obedience in a way that she had never felt before. Then he shocked her. Looking her in the eye, he called her and asked her to come down. She panicked. She did not know what to do. She did not want to stand in front of everyone. She did not want to be put on public display. But he would not release her from his gaze. Hesitantly, she walked forward, down the stairs, up the aisle, past friends and family. People could barely move to let her go by, and she had to push her way through the crowd. For the first time in 18 years, she was thankful that she could not look anybody in the eye. She was too embarrassed. What did Jesus want with her? Why did he insist on making a public spectacle of her? When she approached Jesus, he stepped down off the platform and he offered her his hand. She felt the flow of energy in that touch. He lifted her to the platform. Everybody in the room could now see her. Then she heard his voice say, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmities." She was stunned. What did this mean? Who was he to release her from her burden that she had carried for 18 long years? How could he know? How could he understand? By what authority do you speak these words? But when he touched her, something had happened. Something had changed, and she felt a release. A burden had been lifted. The stiffness in her back had lessened. She no longer felt pain. She started to lift her head, and then her upper body. And she was surprised. Her back felt relaxed for the first time. And suddenly she could stand erect. Her shoulders were held high. She lifted her hands to praise God, and she danced with delight. This is a story about an unexpected healing. But we may have been so focused on Jesus that we may have missed where this healing took place. It took place in public. The community of the faithful. The importance of the presence of community can easily be missed. Sometimes we are so immersed in our cultural mindset that adores individual independence. We become so accustomed to walking in the garden alone that we've forgotten in baptism we are untied and set free in the body of Christ. We would prefer that religion be a private affair sometimes, other than a personal relationship. And then we can just hide behind our religious activities. We can conceal our weaknesses, our inner securities, and the disease of sin that lurks within our heart. While this provides us with a certain level of emotional comfort and offers a great deal of security, it actually prevents us from feeling true healing. Life-transforming power of God being felt in the context of a community. Yes, we do not want anyone else to know that we have a need. We want to project that we're self-sufficient. We would prefer to have people view us as strong and upright persons of faith. We are too embarrassed to step forward in public worship because it exposes our weakness. It exposes our vulnerabilities. And to highlight the importance of the community in healing, Jesus calls forward this woman who had been crippled for 18 years. Jesus wanted it to be a public event, like healing, with others present, not private and off of the sight. He chose her. He called her to come front and center. He wanted every eye to be upon God and to see what the power of God was going to do to heal this woman. Jesus called the woman to come forward because he would heal her so that the people would see this power and this power could be released into the community. For the man or woman separated from loved ones, the presence of community may serve to break down the barriers of isolation. For the wife who suffered verbal and physical abuse from a husband, the presence of community may one day bring healing to a scarred soul. For the person suffering from cancer, congestive heart failure, kidney disease, or some other ailment, the presence of community may remind them that they are not alone, that God still cares. So what wonders, what healings could Jesus do in the presence of the community? If only we would be willing to step forward in faith and come before the gathered community and hear his voice of comfort and receive his touch of healing. Are you willing to step forward? Amen.